No, it's the first one.
Oh, I thought I saw you walking. That was you.
Yeah.
All right, welcome, Blake.
Today's meeting for the Fairfield County Transportation Authority. We're working on that one first. So it's Thursday, January 25th, 2024, 5:41 p.m. Roll call, please.
I just wanted if you could just share a little bit about what the plan is in Mendota for the airport.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you? I couldn't. No.
My microphone?
No, you're good, you're good. Thank you.
Okay. So I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about what the plan is to do in Mendota at the airport, or what they're planning to do, and how the transportation will fit into that?
Sure, that's a great question, Mayor Fast. And that is, FCRTA, as you know, has been in the process of developing microgrid resiliency hubs. We've started with a maintenance facility in the city of Selma, and that is a one-off microgrid resiliency hub. What it consists of is solar panels with level 2 chargers and also level 3 chargers. And the idea, through previous sustainability planning grant studies that Caltrans has afforded us the opportunity to apply for and been granted, we've been studying the locations in all of Fresno County, both the incorporated cities, the 13 cities, and also 39 unincorporated communities, so that we could develop these micro resiliency hubs that would be, for the most part, 90 to 98% sustainable, with minimal requirements to the utility for off-site improvements, as we are learning through our maintenance facility. And the idea is to locate properties within the cities and unincorporated communities. Just by way of background, I think I mentioned the city of San Joaquin. We're working with the city of San Joaquin as well in the city, so that we can develop a micro resiliency hub there, so that it can serve the entire west side community of the unincorporated communities for Cantua Creek, El Porvenir, Three Rocks, and Tranquility. I know that's a mouthful, but that's a very broad area out there. And the key to these locations is locating available land and or property. As most of you know, one, these properties are hard to come by. Two, they don't have easy access for both on-site and off-site utility connections to the meter, as we are in the majority with PG&E. There's a couple locations that have SoCal Edison on the border to Tulare County. But specifically with Mendota, this is an opportunity, since the city of Mendota vacated that classification of an airport in the city of Mendota, and now it's basically open, available land, and I'm sure the city of Mendota has other plans for it, but as part of the holistic approach in making a seamless transportation system, you have to have the infrastructure to provide access for electric vehicle charging, as that's a requirement for public transit. And if we have vehicles within each city, which we do, anywhere from 1 to 4 vehicles, and also intercity routes that interconnect the cities coming into the city of Fresno and Clovis, we also want to have charging locations at these locations. Very similar to our relationship with each of you at the municipal yards, where we have CNG units, and we also have automated gates, security lighting, and other apparatuses to support your communities. So what we're doing is we're trying to expand this base, so that when we do apply for funding, we have a location and a site. And it makes it much easier, and the funding sources like Caltrans can look at it and say, okay, that's one question, one checkbox that's marked off. We don't have to worry about a possible location. So Mendota is just one of 13 cities where we're going to be looking at these sites. Obviously, we can't get to them all at one time, but all the 13 are on the radar. So hopefully that answers your question. You're welcome.
Thank you, Moses. Is there any other items? Any from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve? Motion from Mendota, second from Orange Cove. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. So next we have items from staff.
Yes. At this time, I would like to introduce John Jansen, the city manager from the city of Kerman, and he was recently appointed slash elected. He was the only one willing to step up. And he is the new chairperson of the Policy Advisory Committee. As you know, the MCOG has a tiered structure for the Technical Transportation Committee, Policy Advisory Committee, and then the board meetings. And John took that appointment at this month's meeting, and we congratulate him. No condolences, John, so welcome, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Moses. Madam Chair, members of the board, I did want to take an opportunity tonight to come out and introduce myself in person and let you know about our reorganization policy advisory committee. I'll be serving alongside Elizabeth Nunez from the city of San Joaquin. So we're anxious to take on those new roles, and we want to thank Wilma Tucker from Fowler and Nicole Z from Reedley for their past service as they chaired that committee for several years. And I'm pleased to announce this evening and be able to extend our thanks on behalf of the residents of the city of Kerman and our students who attend Fresno City College that through your support and vision, we were able to institute a shuttle bus service from our community center to Fresno City College. And today we got the great news that they're adding a second route because of the popularity of that service. So our deepest gratitude and appreciation for your help with that, and I look forward to working with you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. And just a quick note on that it's not a public transit route. It's a social service route. We're able to leverage that through the local transportation funding through the FCOG on the LTF funding. And it's still in demonstration mode, so subject to the ridership and the match funding from the city college, because it requires a 55% match, we were able to pull this off. And it just goes to the point of collaboration and partnership. So we want to thank the city of Kerman and also the city college as well. So it just adds to the ridership for Kerman and also city college, the main campus, and also the Southwest campus. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you, Moses. Great job. So is there any members that would like to discuss anything on this item? Or anything you wish to bring in?
Good job, Moses.
Yep, always. Great job. And hearing that, I have a meeting's adjourned, and now we can move on to the next item, which is our Fresno, the Fresno Pod. And I see that everybody's here, so then starting the meeting at 5:51. Roll call, please. City of Clovis?
Present.
City of Polinga?
Present.
City of Fireball? City of Fowler?
Here.
City of Fresno?
Here.
City of Huron?
Presente.
City of Kerman?
Here.
City of Kingsburg?
Here.
City of Mendota?
Here.
City of Orange Coast? City of Parlier?
Here.
City of Reedley?
Here.
City of Sanger?
Here.
City of San Joaquin?
Here.
City of Selma?
Here.
Fresno County? With 15 at 18.17%. All right, thank you. Okay, now we can move on to a transportation consent items. Any items from the consent would you like to pull from board? Hearing none, any from the public? Okay, so do I have a motion to approve items on the consent?
Motion.
Second, Mendota. Second from Clovis. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. We're going to the next item, which is transportation. Okay. item of transportation block grant regional bid project funding recommendations. Robert?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So this is the beginning of our award season, if you will, for our major grant streams, federal grant streams, or rather, I guess, the end of the cycle. We come to you tonight with the recommendations from our scoring committee, and then also as concurred by the DTC and PAC. So we issued a formal call for projects. This is for the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program, also known as STBG. Probably the most of the federal funds, federal streams that you receive, one of the most flexible of all of them. Issued a call for projects over the summer with $33.4 million available, with receiving 41 applications by the October 6th deadline, requesting over $61 million. So, you know, typically oversubscribed by almost 50%, 100% rather. The scoring committee convened on December 5th and selected the projects that are highlighted in yellow in your packet. Presumably you've all seen that by now, so I won't belabor it. But tonight we're asking with the staff, the scoring committee, and the TTC PAC recommending that your board approve the project recommendations for the 23-24 Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. Can I answer any questions?
Any questions? No questions?
Move for approval.
Any questions from the public? And hearing none, Kerman moves for approval. And do I have a second?
Second
from Fowler. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay, we can move on to the next item. And that's for the congestion mitigation and air quality funding recommendation. Juan? Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Maybe grab the other
Good evening. Starting over.
It's not
Mike. It's not the mic.
I guess I
know.
Don't get so close.
It's
don't get so close.
Bad.
Right here.
Can you hear me like that?
So on December 6th, 2023, Regional Scoring Committee comprising of eight representatives from various agencies, including from East Side, West Side, Transit, and others, prioritized congestion mitigation and air quality improvement program project applications that we received in September. From the call for projects, we received 36 applications from member jurisdictions totaling over $56 million in request against over $30 million in available funding. Of the 36 applications, 20 projects were recommended for funding that are attached. Staff request that the policy board approve the scoring committee's project recommendations for the 2023-2024 CMAC program. That's about it. Any questions?
Do we have any questions for the board?
I have a question. How was the committee selected? The scoring committee.
So we got a little bit of first come, first serve. So that happens in March.
First come, first serve.
Well, we have guidelines that spell out who comprises the scoring committee. So at the minimum, we have to have, as he kind of outlines here, there's a metropolitan representative that cycles and it goes back and forth from Fresno to closes. And then there's East Side, West Side, somebody from Transit, Caltrans, and a COG staff member. I think it's eight.
Yeah, it's eight years old.
Yeah.
So we make sure that there's somebody from the East Side, West Side, just so we can be even. That way we can choose everyone kind of represents the area.
So from there we seek volunteers. With that, with those parameters, then we put the call out, you know, for volunteers from under those parameters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, typically the applications don't come in until, in this case, it was September for CMAC. And so I think we probably organized the committee in July.
Yeah,
somewhere in there, about 2 months ahead of, you know, because as soon as the applications come in, we send them right back out for scoring, and then they have about a month, or actually, no, they had a couple of months to score them.
It's pretty popular, so people reach out, especially for CMAC.
Yeah, we don't tend to have a problem with getting volunteers.
I can see that.
Is there any other question? Hearing none. Is there any from the public? None? Okay, so do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion from Huron, do I have a second?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sawatzky, and then second by Huron. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. So we move on to the next item, which is the Crime Reduction Program Funding Recommendations. Juan, again?
So this is the first year that we did the Crime Reduction Program, and it was very similar to the CMAC scoring process. And this happened the next day, December 7th. The committee received 10 applications for a total request of over $4 million. And out of the 10 applications, 8 received funding. 2 of them didn't receive funding because they had already received funding for CMAC, so essentially all of them got funded. And I don't have much to say about this.
I have a question. Could we see the list on the screen? Is that possible? Por favor.
For the carbon reduction program, you'd have to pull up the agenda. I don't know if you can. You'd have to pull up the agenda and the attachment.
You have.
He's got a hard copy, yeah. But if we want on the screen, we'll have to pull it up through the agenda.
I got a hard copy here now.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that okay?
Honorable council member provided. And I don't know if others still want to see it.
I think it's an article.
Well, I'm happy, Frank.
Yeah, can you blow it up a little bit? No, back. Get the see the plus and minus of the box. These are in the order that they were scored.
Now we'll do that the timing is right to form a C5 principal subcommittee, which what
the goal for this is to, for the committee to expand and also include staff from school districts. And the goal of the committee would be to help facilitate this inventory collection process. So by helping the community between the school district and the city staff. And I'll leave it at that. The recommendation for this item is, an action for this item is staff and TTC impact. Recommend the policy board appoint the resident policy from school subcommittee initiative.
I know Lynn was interested, so I.
I think nagging is the word.
No, I advocating, that's all we do. So I don't know if that's something you still want to do, and I would.
Yeah, I thank you for letting me bring this up, actually, last like 5 meetings. But I think it's a thing we can all, we all rally around the idea. It's a win for all of our communities. It's a good use of the dollars we have in current Measure C or future Measure Cs. And keeping our kids safe walking to school seems like a pretty low bar that people would agree on. So I would love to see the COG rally around that and really lift that up as a project for the county. So, and I would love to serve on that committee. I'd love to be the chair or co-chair if somebody wanted to join me, but I think it's just important work and we can make a big difference.
Chair, that's for her to be on that. Is everybody else okay with that?
I could leave the room and you could talk about me.
I think it's, because you did bring it up and you were working on this, make sure that we did, because we saw the need, especially how it happened in Perler. We had 2 accidents, you know, with pedestrians, especially students going to school, you know, and it's, or one going to school and one was coming home. So I think.
If someone from a smaller community, I mean, Clovis, but if a smaller community wanted to be a co-chair, that would be.
I'll volunteer.
Oh, I don't accept you.
You know, I would love to be on the, I would like to help. I mean, you could be the chair, and then if everybody's okay with Ray being the vice. And then I just, whatever, I'm just part of the group to help. Is there anybody else?
We can have up to 8. We can't have a quorum. We can have up to 8.
I have a question. When would this committee meet? I'm sure you probably don't have that yet.
I have no idea. Does it? If it was, would it be better if it met 5 o'clock or versus noon, or are you asking just for participation?
Yes, I would like to participate, but it would be more of what time?
Would it be better like at 5 o'clock-ish, like this? I think that's fine. I mean, I think it's about what we can do, figure it out collectively, and then decide how to move forward, but I mean,
well,
I have a co-chair now.
Zoom-ish, 5 o'clock-ish?
Yes.
Zoom-ish, 5 o'clock-ish. Can we meet on Zoom? Can subcommittees meet on Zoom?
The subcommittee is likely going to be a legislative body with the meeting of the Brown Act, rather. So it's going to be a public meeting, open to the public, non-promote unless you fall within one of the exceptions for public meetings with the Brown Act, such as within the jurisdiction, noticed, accessible to the public, or one of the new categories, the emergency situation.
So every location from where the committee members are participating needs to be identified and noticed 24 hours ahead of time, regardless of where it's at.
72 hours, but yes.
72 hours, okay.
How many can be in the committee?
Yeah, so it has to be less than a quorum board. But my understanding is that it would grow to include district officials and others, as available.
Yeah, I think we need to see what the data says. We need to kind of figure out what the objective is and how do we get there and where do we start. And so once we have a kind of a work plan, of course it involves other stakeholders, families, parents, all of that. But I think it starts with the data.
School district, right?
For sure.
I already got one in mind, assistant superintendent. Yeah. We can all identify who we can work effectively with.
So I think we have Kingsburg, and Selma, Kalinga, and of course Ray and Lynn.
Well,
and Lota.
I'd like to meet it, but I mean, if there's going to be space needed for
eight of ours,
I'll join it.
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
We would staff the committee.
Right.
Right.
Noted. I think the other part of it is what work is already happening. I know the city of Fresno was doing some work around safe routes to schools. I think Fresno Unified is doing some work. So this is exactly, this is one of those projects that the only thing worse than doing nothing is everyone doing something and not lining it up. So I think part of it is where we start with lining up what's already happening out there and see where we can kind of leverage that. We'll figure it out as we go.
Right. And I think that'll be the discussion when the committee comes together and we could line up and have them to present on what they're doing.
Right.
Maybe there's other jurisdictions outside of our region that have done something stouter and, you know, very much recognized that we would probably want to model, but yeah, we can figure that out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. And thank you for the action to begin the work. Time to begin.
Right.
So, I have noted that there's quite a few school districts that are actually some bigger school districts that haven't turned any form, so maybe that needs to be followed up first.
And then I think also the committee can also work on that as well, right? I mean, especially if it's in, like, say if it's in Huron, you can communicate with people in Huron. I actually talked to our school district today regarding this, because both of our districts, we have two in Kingsburg, and they were met with, but neither of them did the survey. And so I asked why. And the answer that I was given by both districts, and it's the person, I talked to the person in Kingsburg that met with the committee. They said that in that conversation, and so it's a question, in that conversation, they were understanding that if they submitted what was needed, that the district would be responsible for paying for part of it. And at this time, the district doesn't have the money for those and the funding for those types of things. So I don't know if that was an accurate representation of, like, of what we're asking for them, but both of our districts decided not to move forward with submitting it because they didn't have the funding to match if they got it. So that might be the same with others.
But I think this effort is about also identifying resources out there to pull in so that they can have the resources to do what needs to get done. So we'll re-engage them, I think, via the committee.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Question. Well, I mean, in terms of, I can't really speak to district resources, but I don't think that would be an unusual reaction. But I think from your staff's perspective, the point of this this program is to kind of coordinate with the school districts to identify priority safe routes to schools projects that might be eligible under other funding streams, such as the active transportation program. So, in other words, where you have the jurisdictional priorities that align with school district priorities for applications going forward in active transportation projects, that's where the value is. For example, that as Mary Lynn points out, that's one funding stream.
Chip in. So the program wouldn't necessarily require any school district funding to be a part of the list. This is really just putting together an inventory of the needs within our communities for the Safe Routes to School program. I think maybe part of the confusion that might have played a role in this is that the projects likely will be led by the local jurisdictions, since a lot of these projects are going to be city sidewalk projects, trail projects. So it's not necessarily that the funding would need to be identified from a school district, is that the local jurisdictions will need to take the lead on applying for program funding for the program and for the actual execution of the construction of the projects once we get to that point. So I think that maybe where part of the confusion is, it's not necessarily that the budget needs to be there, but that the local jurisdiction would need to take leadership on developing the projects once they're funded.
Not necessarily the school or the city.
Yeah.
We're the ones that get those funds for that. But initially, we just want the needs list, correct?
Yeah, essentially, we are developing an inventory of the needs in our communities. Jennifer and myself have met with several of the jurisdictions on this body and met with your staffs. And there's been a lot of great conversations with folks about detailed projects that are currently ongoing and then projects that have been kind of needing funding but haven't been able to secure funding, and so we're hopeful that a few future Metro C program could help fund some of those needs that have gone unfunded at this point.
Is it possible to reach back out to the ones that haven't submitted and make sure that that's clear so that we can get their list?
Absolutely, yeah. And we're constantly reaching back out to folks every couple of months if we haven't gotten inventory from them. We would, also help from the mayors if possible. If, some of your staff, you have more communication with and you can let them know to reach back out to us. Sometimes we just are missing each other on emails or phone calls. So any help we can get from you, we really appreciate that.
So, Madam Chair, maybe if to move this forward, we could form the committee, we could gather, try to put together kind of an initial plan of work with the team, with the staff here, and then just kind of keep the momentum going around the question. We can't solve what we don't know, and we don't know what we don't know about people's, the way kids walk to school. So I think we can just maybe wait, and then we can bring it back, and we'll keep the board posted of what's needed, what money. If I was speaking for today, it would all just be paid for by Measure C, so you're welcome. Mike, you're retiring. Hear that? We'll figure that out as we go. But I think that we can meet initially, before this meeting, so those of you that are driving a long way don't have to drive twice, or we'll figure that out. I might invite the president to participate because you have a committee already. You're welcome. You would?
I knew what you told me.
President, wow. You have to submit their survey of their.
I like it. Okay, we're somebody record that in the minutes. I know. Anyway, so thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's a great thing for this body to do. Thank you. So any public comment on this item? Hearing none. So do we have a motion to approve?
I just want to recognize that most of them already submitted it, and that's doing a stellar job. Thank you.
So was that a motion?
Motion to approve, yes.
Okay. And we have a second. Second by Salmon.
Before we vote, this is Brian Rome, Agency Counsel. I'd like to just jump in and make sure the record is clear as to what is being approved. As I understand it, it's the establishment of the subcommittee as well as its initial constituency being Clovis as chair, Huron vice chair, Kingsburg, Kalinga, Mendota, official members.
And Parlier.
So moved.
And Fresno. Did you say Fresno?
I did not. I thought that was a joke, but.
Even if it was, put it in the motion.
The joke stands.
If you just, there was
right, do I get a second?
There was a second.
Can you just, can the secretary read off the number of members of the subcommittee?
We have a total of 8.
Okay.
Okay, so we had a second, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank now you. We can move on to items. E, which is Measure C, Regional Transportation Program, update fiscal year 2023-24.
Yes, back in 1986, the voters who created this program when they passed the first Measure C ballot. It was subsequently extended in 2007. And the total program, this is the capital projects program, which gives us big major infrastructure projects such as 41 South out to Kings County, 168 out to Clovis, 180 clear across town from Ronquillo Boulevard out to Franklin, Veterans Boulevard, the braided ramps, the tile, and the major interchanges together, and several notable projects, including 269 out there over the bridge over the Arroyo Paso floodplain. So the program is now a $1.6 billion program, so that's a significant program. And we update this program every 2 years, so some of this information you've already been exposed to when we did the individual actions. This is more or less a summary of the total program with some things that you haven't seen yet. So, the program increased $271 million. And I'm going to go down through the revenues, the sales tax expectations were adjusted upwards 10% because we've been having some revenue sales tax numbers. That increased the sales tax $57 million. In the 2020, you had awarded step funds to the Fresno, South Fresno Interchange projects, the non-sewer component. And in last November, you awarded $54 million to the American Avenue part of the project. So this update is reflecting the American Avenue addition. In 2020, we put the last segment of SR-41 going out to Kings County. That's the Excelsior to Kings County project. It closes the gap, widens the project all the way out to Kings County now, where they've done a widening on their side to meet us at the gate. And we increased the plan $31 million from the state. We got that put in the state ITIP. And we also, the state also contributed an additional $14 million in SHOP funding to that project. The local partnership program, which is run by the state, we applied Golden State Corridor to it and were awarded $7 million. And we had some, when the High Speed Rail Commission was building the, moving the freeway over, they did some improvements along the freeway corridor that eliminated a couple of major projects. One was the Hernan at UPR Railroad. It's a $61 million improvement that has been freed up for the plan. And then a $26 million contribution for the Herndon undercrossing at SR-99, which I don't believe is going to be done now that Villa Veterans Boulevard's in. And we had increased interest earnings of $9 million. So the program is divided into an urban component and a rural component. I'm going to go through the urban component first. The urban program is an $845 million program. We've actually got $876 million worth of revenues, so we have a $31 million surplus. But that's good because we have $222 million of projects that are expected to be bid in the next 4 years. And in days of inflation, it doesn't hurt to have a contingency. So I'm sure that will get used one way or the other, delivering these projects that are scheduled to be delivered. The net project cost for the whole urban side of the program increased $47 million. Notably among those was North Cedar Interchange, which increased $25 million. California Fruit to Ventura increased $13.7 million. Beach Church to Jensen, $4.2 million. And Beach SR-180 McKinley, $5.7 million. The North Cedar Interchange is presently programmed for $45 million on the SNIP. And the city of Fresno adopted a freeway agreement, I think it was on in the middle of December. Caltrans is now cleared to start the design and acquiring the right-of-way, and we have construction scheduled in the 25-26 fiscal year. The California Fruit Ventura project is proposed for construction in 24-25, and the two Peach projects are scheduled in 24-25 and 25-26. On to the urban program and the rural program. The rural program has a $818 million worth of expenses, but it only has $629 million in revenue, so there's a big $189 million deficit in the program. That's sitting on that SR-180 I-5 connection project, and it's always been a little bit more than the program can afford to spend. We're trying to close the gap, but it's a $300 million project. Caltrans is doing some preliminary engineering. The Transportation Authority General Manager Mike Leonardo authorized Caltrans to begin doing some preliminary engineering to see if they could come up with some financeable improvement that we can actually finish during the life of the measure. And we're probably going to be getting ready together with the rural mayor sometime in the future in the area, you know, Fireball, Mendota, Kerman, San Joaquin, to discuss, you know, where we're at on that project. So the Golden State project increased $16.6 million primarily for improvements suggested by the railroad, or should I say demanded by the railroad. The project is under construction for phase one. The transportation authority is meeting with the mayors for the affected cities up there. That's Selma, Kingsburg, and Fowler, to see if they can figure out a way of completing that project without, in spite of the fact that the railroad's kind of holding them hostage on it for improving their entire corridor. So the American Avenue interchange has increased $14 million. We're planning on constructing that in 25, 24, 25, in sync with the North Cedar interchange. And the when we added Excelsior Kings County, we added $70.8 million to the project. I think that pretty much goes down the list. So our recommendation is that you adopt Resolution 2405, updating the Measure C Regional Transportation Plan. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them for you.
Okay. Manager, I have a question. Les, can you just remind us how we account for the deficit in the rural program? Do we just wait till the funds catch up?
We just moved the project out the very end of the program.
Okay.
And we had a choice. We could take that project out of the project, out of the program, because it was not it couldn't be fully funded. Or we can leave it in there and just run a deficit. So we determined back at the very beginning, it was back in 2009, I believe, we'll leave the project in there and see if what happened. You know, we had 20 years at that point to see if the stars lined up and we got funding for it, but it never has. We're still $189 million in the hole. And that's just the way it looks. The choice is to take it out of the program, or as we're trying to do, work with Caltrans rural cities out there to see if we can come up with some kind of financial improvement that would certainly need.
So if Measure C is not renewed, I know there's some money to wind down Measure C. Would it eventually?
If Measure C was to not extend, then we would have in there for this project, because we wouldn't have the $300 million to deliver it. So there would be a discussion at that point, between Caltrans and the rural cities and this board, and the Transportation Party Board, on exactly what to do with that. And yes, we have a couple of years to wind down the measure. And of course, a lot of those projects that are going to take longer than the 2 years that they have to wind it down. So they will probably be, if they have to wind it down, they'll probably be appointing a successor agency to wind it down. Because the enabling legislation gives them 2 years to close the shop down if the measure doesn't pass the ballot.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question for you. What have you guys spent on? What's the money been spent on?
On this program?
Yeah.
Oh, we spent hundreds of millions. We haven't spent a lot of money on that yet. I think we spent a couple $100,000, giving Caltrans some money so that they could do a preliminary project report to determine if there's some kind of a scoping configuration that we can't afford to do. But we haven't spent a lot of that money, any of that money, hardly.
And that's going to take years.
Yeah.
I personally would like to see, and I think I've talked to somebody from Caltrans that used to come here. Why not extend like the 180 between Herman and Mendota and Mendota to Farfall, because everybody goes down Moose Avenue.
I think.
And then maybe even put some to the Moose Avenue.
Yeah, I think that could all be part of the discussion when we get the rural mayors together. Is do we want to continue with this concept of having a connectable highway between Mendota and 99, or can we put something on maybe 180 and 33 to crack the nut?
It has to be for them to just put in a passing lane or something,
Yeah.
I mean, how many crosses do we have to see on the road?
I'm sure there's some expensive improvements in between Fireball and Fresno that could be on the drawing board. If we chose to sit down and talk about it.
Because most people that go through to I-5 for this area come down after 7.
Yeah.
That's another, I mean, they don't do the common Mendota Harbaugh, you know, how to die time, so it doesn't make sense to me.
Down Avenue Seven, I made that run before, down Avenue Seven and out, is it Nees? Yeah. Nees Harbaugh.
Well, I look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay.
Chris, I have a question.
On the first page of the report, the second to last, the first to last bullet point, you said, you were mentioned the Herman undercrossing at Highway 99, and you mentioned something about Veteran Boulevard. I didn't catch what you meant. Are you saying you don't think the city's gonna move forward?
The city's not gonna move forward with that project, yes.
Okay, that's the first I'm hearing of it, and that's my district. Last I checked with Public Works, we're still moving forward with that. So what happened? When did they tell you that?
When we were doing this update, I got it in an email. I'll go back and check with Scott Mosier to see if he can look over details on that, but.
So there's no more grade separation at 99 and Herndon?
The project is still in the plan.
Yeah.
This is not funded with measure money at the point. And I think part of the reason was is they were, want to finish Veteran Boulevard and, they had, the California Fruit Beach Project. There you go, but would you like to address that, right?
Thank you.
That project is being built as a part of a high-speed rail. So it's not that the project is going away, it's the need for measure funding is going away because high-speed rail is built.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike Leonardo, FCTA.
Yes.
So I'll defer to Mike on this one, on this issue. Is, the mayor of Fireball was talking about going 80 and going to I-5. From what I've had conversations with Mike and other people, one of the issues is there's only so much money in the pot. And so I think, 180 to Academy got some extra money, the Ray Leon Bridge and Huron debt money. And so, one of the issues that came to fruition was whether or not, going through Belmont to 180 or to the 99 or going through Shields Avenue, there's a watershed, there's some other issues that come into play, and how is that money gonna be spent? Kerman was looking at a bypass, through, Highway 180 around the city. And one of the issues that we looked at was if we're too late on it, we become Las Banas, where you can't really do a bypass through Las Banas because the population is around it. If you do it too soon, you're Easton. And 341 just basically took over the entire county and really did nothing for the actual city. So we looked at those and grappled with those, but a lot of it has to do with the amount of money and the pot of money. Are we better off just helping Mendota get the 180 to the 99, the I-5? Are we better off taking care of Fireball, Mendota, as well as parts of Kerman? So all of Mike can speak on those issues.
Thank you. So we actually met with representatives of Kerman, San Joaquin, Mendota, and Fireball. This was probably a year and a half ago, to talk about options, because I think everyone recognizes, number one, there isn't enough money to build that bypass. And number two, is that really the best use of the money? You know, it wasn't the time in 2006, there was a big push to make that connection, but as others have said, people know how to get from Mendota to I-5, and you know, maybe there's a better use for that. Things kind of fell on the wayside, but in fact, I've talked to Mayor Martinez about, we were trying to schedule a meeting for early March to get that group of the west side, northern west side cities together again to look. And I mean, I think, you know, passing opportunities on 180, there was a big desire from Mendota and Fireball for passing opportunities on 33 between the two cities. So personally, I think we are better off taking the money we have and investing it in things that are a now need. For 180 to ever get out to I-5 is going to take a lot of money beyond, you know, I would question, even with the renewed Measure C, if there would be enough money to actually build 180 out to I-5. So that is our plan, is in the next couple months to put that group back together to talk about what's the right solution for the west side.
Yeah, I have a question here. I just want to, you know, say that probably cities out there in the west side, we can identify things that make things safer as well for our communities. And a huge need, you know, is, you know, that connection between Fargo and Mendota, asking things, I think every year, there's probably at least 6, 7, 8 people that die right there. And we could probably bring the data up with Caltrans, right, and figure that out. But, you know, that's already identified as it needs to be, you know, we need to do something about it. And I'm sure that Huron, probably your Kalinga, or, you know, and San Joaquin, you may, you know, some identifications of projects that they really need in their communities. And also, 30, even 33 going to I-5, you know, there's how many accidents that we have right there. So we can really, you know, put that money. I agree that money, we'll probably never see it, you know, and accumulate to whatever many million dollars we need. But if we have something right now, I think that we need to address the real needs before most more lives, you know, go out.
Is there any other questions? Okay, breathing.
So I have a question regarding the potential question there. The issue that's State Route 41 from Elkhorn to Excelsior. There was $70 million in the pot for that. And when is that going to be construction? I don't know if that's the line of
Probably the answer as well as me. But yeah, I was going to report that tonight. But we plan on having design wrapped up here this year. And award into a contractor by the end of the year, so we anticipate probably spring 25 construction.
Thank you for that, because that area, when I used to work in Avenal, a lot of accidents in that N41 stretch. And thank you for having that temporary solution too, because that helps, you know, save lives. So thank you for that. Is there any other questions from the board? Hearing none.
Mike.
I'm sorry.
I just want to thank a lot of our fellow communities for sharing this information, because I mean, the mayor has this one Fresno saying, we really are one county, and it helps people like me be more educated on the challenges you face, especially with Mendota, the fire law people. We have people die on our streets, but imagine a rural community, and it helps to have that perspective. Thank you for sharing.
You know, I just wanted to point something out. I mean, I could share with Michael one-on-one, but on the one, on the 269, when it hits the I-5 and going up, just crosses into Kings County. It's kind of crazy because those vehicles off the 5 always coming in, and cars are just, there's just not enough room there. And it gets really busy, really dangerous. And car vehicles coming down the hill from Avenel are going really fast. You know, then other cars come out, diesel trucks come out. It just, it's a madhouse. I'm surprised. Well, actually, I don't even know. I would like to see the data in terms of what accidents have happened already. You know, I haven't seen any myself personally, but it's just kind of, I think it's something that we should take a look at and maybe fix up. There might be a need for some additional lengthening of lanes so that we avoid, you know, something crazy out there. Thank you.
Any from the public and comments? Hearing none. Okay. Oh, yeah. What was the first motion?
Fast.
And then second was Angelo?
Yes.
Fast.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you, Madam Chair, good evening, members of the board. A few updates. So we're gearing up for April 19th through 22nd. We're having our Clean California Community Days. I had that last year too, where a lot of community groups joined together and local agencies to adopt sections of their cities to support Clean California and do some cleanup. So I'll have more information to follow for how to register and sign up for that. Unfortunately, with the governor's budget deficit, Clean California program is going away. So I think we've done in the past, like the we partner on the dump day partnerships and the adopted highway stipends will be going away at the end of this fiscal year, June 2024. So we'll finish up all the active projects through June 2026 as that program sunsets. Good news is all the personnel and staff we hired to do this type of work, we have transitioned them into permanent maintenance positions. So they're full-time employees with Caltrans.
couple of the projects are Caltrans Clean California projects that are underway. The curb and roundabout beautification project that was awarded back in December. Project expected to be completed this spring. I know we're working with the city about doing kind of a groundbreaking around the time we started installing the letters and beautification there. So PIO should be reaching out to the city. The Mendota Fireball beautification project, depending on weather, should be starting sometime this January. We also have a stair on 41 block wall project. Actually, not even a block wall. There's going to be some flat iron fencing there between Gettysburg and Nashville. We've got some issues. And then also the President McKinley Public Space Project will be kicking off here in the spring. And that one does include the mosaic tiles we talked about on stair on 41. So we're addressing like four of those locations with revitalizing some of those tiles. Also, part of Clean California, the transit program, we did give the notice to proceed to FCRTA, so they have a couple hundred thousand dollars to add some much-needed bus shelters. And on that note, I do want to thank FCRTA and Moses and Janelle for providing transportation. We had a construction summit last week where we have people in the state coming in toward high-speed rail locations, so very appreciative of Moses and Janelle for providing EV buses for transportation. The Caltrans planning grant, so those applications did like close earlier this month, and we did receive 15 applications within our district. Proud to take for the Fresno County region. Of those 15, 9 were from the Fresno County region. Wishing you all good luck. Hope for some successful applications to bring some good planning studies here to the Valley. In terms of projects, I'm going to report first on one in Kings County, because I'm sure this might be a lot of you drive 41 on the coast. They're going to be replacing the Stratford Bridge. That activity is going to start on February 15th. If you've driven that way recently, you see the cranes out there already working adjacent to 41. When they do start that construction, that segment of 41 for a 2-mile stretch will be closed for about 6 months. So the detours are reroute of 198 around. I think it's going to sign you up to I-5 and back around, but I imagine there'll be people taking the navigation, use probably local roads and perhaps 269, so we'll need to monitor how traffic disperses during that construction period.
How long is that construction period?
6 months. Expecting 6 months, assuming weather cooperates, but kicking off February 15th, I believe it is. For 6 month period.
All right.
If you notice things, let me know.
Yeah. Hopefully, we increase the sales of
increase commerce to 269 and here up. Selma Fowler Rehab Project 99, work continues. The same ramps continue to be closed. We expect those to open hopefully between the middle and the end of February. At that point, we will be closing the Southtown State Route 99 off ramp. 43 and Floral Avenue. Expected mid-February, but could be closer to March, because we close for 2 to 3 months. We are working with a contractor on offers and incentives for early completion of that project. If we get that whole project wrapped up here this upcoming spring. Already reported on the stair on 41 Excelsior Expressway. Through Kalinga, we have a rehab project. We're working on, we're in the design phase. We think we'll have design wrapped up this summer. It's going to do some rehabilitation and do road diet with various complete streets elements through town. So excited about that project. We expect to award it in November of this year, which would mean spring construction of 2025. The Mendota Roundabout, our role is of oversight in that project. We're through design as of this month. We expect to be ready to list it in the spring. So the city will be administering that contract. I think bid opening will be this summer, and then construction will probably start from the end of summer for construction of the roundabout at State Route 33 and 180. The 180 roundabout at Dickinson, that project is still currently design phase. We expect to have design completed this spring. Construction anticipated to start in the fall. That'll be 120 working days, so about 6 months for construction of the 180 Dickinson. With that, to finish my report, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So
Michael, on the Dickinson 180 roundabout, who has jurisdiction as to the design? It wouldn't be the city of Kerman.
No, it's a Caltrans project. I'm assuming our project development team probably hasn't been communicating with Kerman and sharing layouts, but it'd be a Caltrans project.
And then my issue is because we earlier in your report you had the Kerman Jensen 145 roundabout, and I think that was put in 2012, maybe 14. So it's about 10 or 12 years old, and we're finally redesigning that because, and I joke with you all the time, it's one of the the most poorly designed roundabouts in the history of roundabouts, right? Because the things that we asked at that time weren't acknowledged, okay? And one of the things that I've said, and Mary's been here long enough for me to always know that I always pick on you guys about the roundabouts, is I went to Europe, and so I know roundabouts work. I don't have a problem with roundabouts. You have a problem with roundabouts when you have one street that's more popular than the other. Okay, and you should have an odd number of roundabouts points because the headlights don't cross. When you have one going north and one going east-west, then the headlights cross, and in the fog, you have trouble. And especially if you don't build a center divider that can block the headlights because you can't see what's going on, you don't see that there's a roundabout. And then when you put it in the county, the easiest thing to do is design walkways and sidewalks. The problem is after you build the sidewalks for the corner, right, you're in the county, there's nowhere the sidewalks the next 10 more miles. So you've got these great sidewalks that are, and then who has jurisdiction over the roundabout? Because all we have is weeds. We got weeds after weeds after weeds. Since we didn't know the center divider, and then the ramps aren't made for tomato trucks, they're not wide enough. And then at the last minute, Caltrans, you know, came in with the lessons learned. This is the problem that we have. Oh, we're going to jog people to the left in order to go right on a roundabout, which is great for a small car, but it's not great for a tomato truck. Because one of the issues that you have with a roundabout, which is what makes it work, is it slows the traffic down. But when you have a tomato truck that's carrying two trailers, making them go to the left 5 degrees to go to the right another 5 degrees so you can slow the traffic down doesn't work because they're going to cut the apron and it's going to go through that whole process. And that's the problem that we have is how do you maintain the weeds in the center of the divider, right? If it's in the county, Kermit has no jurisdiction over it, but it says welcome to Kermit, right? And so those are the things that people need to look out for, especially with an even number of entry points. North, south, east, west, the headlights come in, and how do you actually park a car to maintain the process? And then how do you have a water hose in the center so you can either water the plants or you can spray off the graffiti or do other things? And those are things that Kerman's learned since 2012, 2014, and we're just starting to finish up what we're doing now. And you know, to Caltrans's support, we're working that out, but 12 years later, we're finding out the lessons learned of every single thing. When the design was made, it was a true roundabout using tomato trucks, right? But we didn't anticipate jogging to the left, jogging to the right, people cutting the corners because the apron wasn't wide enough. And you know, and the joke I have always used is the roundabouts at River Park are better designed than the ones in Kermit. Okay, just because that's the way it's set up that way. But if we can maintain that thing and get everything looking right, I think the Weisbridge Dickinson is going to be different than the Prather. Prather roundabout it's a greatly designed roundabout. It slows the traffic down, but you have an even number of entry points from all four corners. Kerman, a Weisbridge Dickinson is going to be totally different because now you're going to have people that are selling blankets and selling things and saying, hey, why can't we do this anymore? We don't have the Coco Frios in the corner. We can't sell fresh fruit. We can't do it. So what's going to happen with those people, right? And how we design that. So that's just my thing. That's my 2 cents. So Mendota, you got a roundabout coming in, so just be prepared.
Mendoza roundabout situation is probably a little different than when we're describing this more of an urbanized setting. But I'll acknowledge that there's a lot of lessons learned from the first one we did in Kermit. We can probably go back and forth on some of the comments on opinions on roundabouts, I'm sure. I will acknowledge a lot of lessons learned. We probably built almost 20 more since that time. We have several in various counties in our district. We've done a lot of rural areas. We've learned a lot from going through. What you're describing is just chicanes to create deflection, slow them down, or acknowledge. We try to work very closely with, in this case, probably more so the county on this one, about making sure that we have the right templates for large vehicles. I know 180 and 145 actually accommodates extra legal load network vehicles getting through it. So it should accommodate tomato trucks, but I'm happy to engage the city of Kermit more if we want to have a follow-up conversation about future maintenance in the county as well.
And for the record, I'm pro-roundabout. It's just I'm against poorly designed roundabouts and without getting the
That's idea. A step in the right direction. Yeah, we're always pro roundabouts. We got you a believer now.
I've always been a pro roundabout person because I went to Europe. I year rails. I know what the benefits are. It's just the one that was designed in Kermit was just from start to finish, it just wasn't going to work.
Only one debate I'll say I think is better than one in Kermit.
Okay.
Give me that at least.
Michael, I wanted to ask if you can elaborate a little bit more on the Highway 41 project, the wrought iron fence, and you said there are some delays, and is there anything the city of Fresno needs to do to help?
I'm sorry, when I said issues, I was kind of dancing around it. We've chosen a particular kind of wrought iron fence. I've had a lot of complaints from the neighbors. I think we'll start in the spring, but we went wrought iron because of the debris, the maintenance, the encampments. So we did a particular design to help you. You can't cut through the wrought iron fence theoretically very easily. So we kind of tried to think about the features based on a lot of the feedback and the complaints we got from the residents, specifically between Ashland and Gettysburg in the northbound direction.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Is there any other questions from the board? Hearing none, any from the public? So do we have a motion to?
It's a
report. No, it's information of it. Caltrans, I'm so sorry. So we have administrative consent items. Any item from the consent would you like to pull from the board?
I would like to make a comment on one. I don't necessarily need to pull it, but I can if you'd like me to.
Yeah.
I just want to comment on the item C, the contract to improve this AV, because when Jennifer, is that your name? I don't have any idea what you said. It's okay, it's not your fault. But this room has been like this nemesis during the whole Zoom. So the fact that we did a little, it didn't get us there. So I'm just hoping that this contract is going to get this room to like 2020 standards so we can hear on Zoom, hear each other in the room. So thank you for doing this. And I hope this is enough. And don't just do almost all of it, because then if we still can't hear, super frustrating. So thank you for having it here. And I hope it gets us to a 2020 standard of performance. That's all I hope for.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is there any way I can get a copy of what the actual cost is to equal $54,000 to redo the sound in here with all the equipment and labor?
Yeah, in terms of what it generates, the $54,000.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll make a motion on the consent calendar that I've
had. I have one more question now we're going over the office. Is a year ago we talked about, after I got my car got broken into, about moving the cog room. So is that over now, since we're actually going to put a new sound system in?
The sound system improvements as the, I guess we're pulling this item.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, let's just pull this item for discussion and approve the rest later.
The way it's conceived is designed to replace what is left of the analog system, but so that we go completely digital. That has been identified as the source of the conflict, is that we have a mix of digital components with older analog components that still work, but it's the interaction between them. They don't always play nicely together. And so the in terms of the modular aspect, we've been assured that should we decide to leave this office, we can take everything with us.
Oh. Yeah,
that's one of the conditions of the upgrade.
I think there was another question,
wasn't there? Later? It probably won't happen. Is there any way we can table this till the next meeting so that way I can get the numbers and go over it? I've been doing the sound and stuff myself for 27 years, and I want to compare it and see, because I know it can pop. Most likely it's the labor. The digital, of course, is twice as much as the analog, if not three times as much. But just so we have a comparison, because I can get counteract with different prices for the same product.
There is no time element per se associated with this. So there's no reason why it couldn't, from our perspective, be tabled. But if you notice in the item, we are seeking sole source on this. Normally, this would be something that we would go through our normal procurement processes, and the reason that we did not in this case is because of the issue of continuity with the contractor, which is not to say that that's the end all be all. You know, it's not like it's impossible for another contractor to come in and manage, but the issue was continuity and, you know, being accountability. Essentially, we could hold Sebastian responsible for any problems that we had.
So it covers warranty.
It includes the warranty. Les, do you remember? It seems like it there was a 1 year.
They might be able to get 1 year warranty on it, but they had proposed a service agreement that was
fairly expensive that we decided to turn down.
Well, I think what we did was we accepted the least, least expensive cost of the service. Right, so instead of coming out four times a year to check on it, we're only gonna come out once a year to check on it unless we call them. So if we wind up calling them, then we're gonna be charged for doing that, but they would come out once a year on regular schedule to check on the entire system to make sure everything's still functioning properly.
So what's the call out if it happens every 2 months? If there's an issue, what's the call out?
It depends on the time that they spend.
Yeah, I'd like to table this if possible to the next meeting. I'd like to see the numbers. If I need to, I can reach out to some of the other mayors or even you.
Yeah, I think all you have to do is make a motion.
I want to make a motion to hold, table this until the next meeting, please.
So we have a motion from Kalina, second from Fresno.
And I would also just add, to borrow a line from Floyd Buchanan, Clovis Unified, we're too poor to do it cheap. So if saving money, if they only come out once a year, and that to me is, technology is temperamental. So I would just say, saving money on a service agreement that's gonna make the system potentially fail seems not smart exactly to me. So maybe in the tabling of the motion, we could look at, or staff could look at that piece. Is it sort of penny wise, pound foolish to not service it? Then you've got a call for service 3 months in a row, it's gonna cost us three times the grip. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate the saving money, but let's save money on not something that's gonna cost us twice as much as it breaks, I guess is my point.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries, so we move to the next meeting. And we have a motion to approve A, B, and D.
Do you need that motion?
Yeah, can I table the other one?
I will make the motion to approve the consent calendar with the exception of item C.
I'll second it.
Second. Clovis and then Fresno. I think that was right. Any others in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay. And let's move on to the next item, the One Voice trip, Washington, D.C., priorities.
Thank you. I'm a soft talker too, so I will try to talk
about it. Big
stick. Thank you. We tried to use this one, but it doesn't do much. So, as you saw in your packet, Fresno Health staff provided a summary and the 11 submitted potential one-place regional priorities that were submitted and reviewed for your consideration and board approval. If approved, the 2024 one-place delegation will take these to Washington, D.C. March 17th through the 21st, includes travel days, to provide you with a little bit of historical context, because we haven't done this trip in 5 years. Historically, I looked at 2009 to 2019, it averaged about 12.5 priorities per trip. And that ranged from 6 one year to 23 another year, with 22 to 42 different delegates going on trips. So just a little historical context on numbers. The list of priorities was bullet-pointed in your agenda, but I just want to go through the ask very, very quickly. The SR-168 Enterprise Canal Bicycle and Pedestrian Bridge is requesting construction and completion, seeking up to $30 million. FYI's new air traffic control tower facility project is seeking $10 million earmark and federal support, as well as a runway reconstruction project seeking $7.5 million in matching funds. And I believe that's a $75 million project, but their match is low. Shaw Avenue State Route 99 Freeway Interchange Improvement Project is seeking $19 million to initiate the EIR, commence build survey activities, and preliminary design and right-of-way acquisition. Their total project cost on this is $100 million, and they're applying for a raise grant, so we'll be asking for support for that. The Milliken Road Widening and Safety Improvements Project for is for road widening, a roundabout, and other related improvements, and they're seeking $35 in an earmark and also raise grant support. The Business Friendly and Administrative Relief of the United States Department of Labor's Policies and Regulations is to increase retention rates, and this is one of our few policy Trail or Western County will seek support to reserve what they have received since an additional $3 billion in the project was announced in December after this was submitted for your consideration. Southwestern SR 99 water project was submitted by President Trump's staff and is seeking raise grant support. The House Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Bill was submitted by President Trump's staff as well and seeks support for no rejections to transportation infrastructure spending as part of IIJA and the Inflation Reduction Act. The City of Clovis, Kings River Wildwater Pipeline seeks support and guidance for this project from federal agencies such as Interior, Fish and Wildlife, and the Army Corps of Engineers to get started early for that project. And the City of Clovis announced to Trails is seeking $5 million for the regional portion of their projects. Staff and PAC recommend approval of these, but we are ready to follow through with any guidance.
Brenda, would it be too late to add one?
Let me open it up, but let's have this finish and then I'll open it up for discussion.
Okay. This concludes my.
Oh, that's it? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
I thought
you were, yeah.
We're just looking for the only reason I mentioned it is because at one of our One Voice trips, we did mention the Cross Valley Light Passenger Rail, and which connects like 14, 15 cities, you know, on east and west. And the only city that's part of that is the City of Huron in Fresno County. And so I think it would be good to have a follow-up, you know, on that item, that being the only Fresno County city that will be connected to the high-speed rail station in Hanford. And we all know that that's the goal, to be able to connect the high-speed rail, and most ideally with all the rural communities that could be able to feed into it. But essentially planning and design of the Cross Valley Light Passenger Rail and the station. We at Kings County, Tulare County, they've been moving quite a bit and trying to make it happen in their respective regions, but we haven't done anything on our end, really.
So what would be the ask of the federal?
In terms of the numbers, I don't know yet, but we could figure that out.
But is there enough planning? Is it far enough ahead?
No, I think this would be about, and Michael, you were in those meetings that we had, you know, with Director Dan Gomez and the other entities. I think Robert was part of them as well. But maybe you have an idea? There would be planning, design.
Yeah, we've talked about this earlier. We had meetings, obviously, with Tulare County and yourself, and we don't have numbers yet. Design. We're trying to, you know, re-engage, I think, the county, have more conversations because of the, we care about the availability of rail funds right now. I think it's a hot time to go after this and try and move this project forward, but it is very preliminary in terms of, I think a good number of environmental design. TCAG's been kind of leading the effort a little bit because a lot of these stations are their territory, but we can re-engage. I'm just not sure what that ask would be. I think that's our plan, and working with Director Gomez, she's asked us to re-engage, have these conversations. Just going from TRP, it's a lot of conversations about the 400 that increases federal rail funds, but we have to target a specific application or program yet.
No, at least ramp it up, because if the Biden administration is going to be trying to invest $25 billion between now and 2025, then we should take heed here in our region to try to pull down as much as we can in the areas where we've been deficient, you know. And I think this is effectively one that we could identify as an environmental justice and transportation justice project, which Justice 40, which means 40% federal funding, that we'll be working to invest minimum 40% into those type of projects to connect, provide connectivity to environmental justice in low-income communities.
And I'm sure I have a question. If I, are you finished, Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair. Oh yeah, everybody but you. That's right. Two questions. One is, I think, I guess two unrelated, but subject to this topic. One is, some of these are not regional priorities, and I don't know what the definition was. Some of them are priorities to say the city of Clovis or the city of Port Lear.
Yeah.
But, and I get that as cities do well, the region does better. I can argue that point. So I'm kind of curious about that criteria. And more fundamentally, because I feel contrarian today, I want to just raise the question about whether it makes sense to go without a congressman in the congressional District 22. I know you're not all served by McCarthy, but for the city of Clovis and others, we don't have a congressman. And if we have one, he or she will have been there for 15 minutes and won't have any idea where the bathroom is. So I'm just wondering if the timing of this trip makes sense. We were chatting, could we go in the fall? Could we align with another COG? I think, Robert, you said the Valley COGs were going in September. Could you piggyback on that? I think some of these priorities certainly rise to the level of the airport for sure, and I'm sure others, but others I'm not super compelled. Like, we don't need to go just to go. So I guess I would raise the discussion about, let's rethink this. We didn't plan this. We didn't expect to have no congressman, no senator that's going to stay. So it's just, it's a different environment. So I just want to raise that for discussion. I'm inclined to think it's not the best time to use taxpayer dollars to go talk to people that either aren't going to be in office very long, because the congressman will be somebody who's only going to serve till the next election, which is like 3 months away. So anyway, that's my question for the group. Does it make sense to go now or to hold on to the hotel contract to a later date in the fall or something else? So just question for discussion.
If I may comment, I think at the end of the day, it's the staffers that really carry it. And this is awareness creation on the needs, the priorities, the concerns of our region. And at the end of the day, it's the staffers that need to be briefed up on that and really move it all around, right?
So, totally fair. And I don't know that the staffers that are holding down McCarthy's office are going to be the staff holding down the next congressperson's office. I totally think that's a fair point. So yeah, that's a counterpoint to what I said for sure. Absolutely.
Right. And I think the Committee of Environmental Quality and Infrastructure should be one that we hit, because they're going to be present still, and they can engage the future staffers if they're not going to be the same one in the carpets. But I think it's valuable, and I think we need to really make that it, and to do the advocacy for the needs that we have, because there's many.
I don't know, fire you as my coach.
Including the Huron-Cross Valley Light Passenger Rail. So let's go back to that topic. So what are we going to do there?
Let's not go back to that topic quite yet. Let's stay going forward. Just a minute. I mean, I think that's a question on the table about should we go, and can you describe the criteria for the regional priorities. Then we can go back to your topic.
Well, we should resolve one before we...
Why don't we just resolve it? Whatever you want.
My question is, on the regional projects, do we have, how many do we have that are not? I know that Port Lear had two, but we removed them, because I was part of that meeting that they had, the Zoom meeting, and they explained to us that it had to be regional, of course. So two are gone from Port Lear. There's one that has, that we have there that do meet it, right? I'm not sure exactly what was sent in.
The residents is what you got there.
Right, and my understanding of that project is that there are regional components to it, in that the trail traverses beyond the city limits into unincorporated Fresno County.
Okay.
And that was the basis for maintaining that one.
Mm-hmm.
So what other ones do we have that are not meeting the regional? Is there any other?
There's one that we wanted to take off in the city of Fresno. That was the Shaw Avenue, State Route 99 freeway interchange. We were probably premature on that one, quite frankly, so we were going to take that one off.
Okay.
I do agree with Lynn in a number of ways, and the fact that I think we all agree these need to be regional projects. Hopefully people see high-speed rail, the airport is regional, so. But some of these, I think, are questionable. So which ones are still on?
Which one? The whole list right now.
The ones on this list? Minus Shaw Avenue?
Minus, yes.
If you were pulling that tonight, then, yeah, that is the city's discretion. It's your item to pull.
Yeah, it is. We want to pull it.
Okay. Is there any other
ones? Lynn, is the City of Clovis Kings River raw water pipeline on there?
Yeah.
It still is on there. Ryan Burnett is here from the city. And I Do they both have equal value? Probably. Are they the strongest requests ever made? I'd say probably not, to be perfectly honest. So I don't know, Ryan, if you want to rescue me from myself.
Hello, I'm Ryan Burnett with the City of Columbus. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. I can speak to the pedestrian bridge, and my colleague Nick Torstenson speak to the raw water pipeline. We may be a little early on the pedestrian bridge. Probably we'll probably know more in about 6 months to a year. We're under preliminary design right now. We haven't even chosen a specific bridge design to go with. So we don't really have a hard target on the cost. So the cost can range from 18 to 34 million for that bridge, depending on what type of bridge we have. And we won't have the preliminary design done and those issues resolved until probably June. So we may be early on this.
Good evening, Chair and members of the board. And regarding the Kings River pipeline project, this is a really preliminary project that the City of Clovis is exploring. The regional benefits would be groundwater sustainability for the region. It would allow us to provide more surface water to the residents and less groundwater pumping. But this also is at an extremely early phase and conceptual, and it's up for discussion, but it could be a better time to take it later.
So there are those two for you.
One of the things that you and I discussed when they said the project would be reworked a little bit was that they're not looking for funding, they're just looking to meet with the agencies to have a conversation. So it may be something that if we're meeting with those agencies. Sometimes we have a more local projects over the years after looking through all of the documentation from the countries. And sometimes you have your main regional projects and then you have some smaller projects. You don't mention it every meeting. But there may be something that can be done by a delegation in Washington, D.C. And that's fully up to your discretion. But it's an option for any project that you choose to delegate that way.
Madam Chair, if I may. So we have, there's several different issues on the table at the moment. So one question again to kind of reiterate what Brenda was saying in her staff report. From a historical context standpoint, eliminating, for example, the Shaw Avenue project, that would leave 10 the way it stands. I believe it's 10. We have taken as many as 22. The logic behind that in the past has been with more priorities come more delegates, so a bigger presence in DC. And so, whether that is still a value is again up to your board to decide. That's completely open for debate. The other issue that is on the table, obviously, whether to add, whether the time to add the project. There, we did have a call for projects with certain deadlines. So again, completely your discretion tonight as to whether you wish to add or remove that. That is why this item is on the agenda. The third issue that I've heard is, just to summarize, is whether we go at all, whether this makes sense at this moment in time. Again, completely up to your discretion. From your staff's perspective, we are in a contract for, I believe it's 15 rooms with Marriott Hotel. So we are already under contract for that. I believe that's the only contract that we've signed at this time. In terms of whether that contract with the hotel could be moved perhaps, that is certainly possible. We would have to find that out, whether we could change those dates or make another contract but change the dates. The dollar amounts per room may change, but we can certainly. So I just wanted to summarize because there's a lot of discussion, different points flying around. So you've got, the question of which priorities stay, which ones go, whether to add any tonight, and then also whether now is the best time for the trip. That's kind of what you're looking at the moment.
Just to make a point in terms of just the geography of our projects, I think the Cross Valley Line Passenger Rail, it looks like the only one on the west side, and the southwest at least, and just taking that into account. And I'm pretty confident that Caltrans can come up with some numbers if we need them.
We're happy to facilitate the conversation. Like I said, it wouldn't be a Caltrans implemented project, but I know we're very supportive, and Director Grobman would like us to help facilitate it and support in any way we can because of the push for rail projects, you know, in the state as well as the availability of the anticipated rail funding. Right. Happy to work.
But it doesn't hurt us to add it, right?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, because at some point in time.
No, and we could, I mean, if you chose to add that project, I mean, and again, especially if you're going to delay tonight, if you're going to delay the trip, then we would have the opportunity to coordinate with the Rail Authority, San Joaquin Valley Rail Authority, that presented the grant, the most recent grant on this project, Sustainable Communities Planning Grant, that was awarded. Again, primarily, for context, this is primarily a Tulare and Kings County project, but it does touch Fresno County through Huron, and so that's what the mayor is referring to. But we have not, in terms of your staffing, we have not been the lead on that position, but we are involved in the discussion.
I guess that there's a question of protocol: is if we decide to keep adding onto the projects and ultimately decide not to do the project and cancel the trip, why don't we just start with, should we cancel the trip
right,
or backwards? Oh, we can save everybody's time and energy here.
Or you can still add it because we're still planning.
And or we defer it for another time.
Yeah.
Then that would be the, so I think the question is do you defer it or do you cancel it? And then if it's a yes to those, defer it or cancel it, then the second question is moved, or the second question is when are we going to reschedule it towards? And then what's going to be on the agenda? You have 11 items on this agenda, three of which are still in question, which are the three most important, you know, and with all due respect to the mayor of Huron, right, people want to see the mayor of Fresno, not the mayor of Huron. So if Fresno and Clovis aren't around, right, then it carries a bigger stick, even the staffers, right?
I was there last week, they won't see
it. So that's kind of where I'm at. The question is if we want to stay with this program and defer it, and then we get Fresno and Clovis to get their projects in line, then it makes more sense and more viable. At the same time, we might have a staffer or somebody that has a little bit of juice that can actually listen to the project and make it work. Then it makes it work. Because each individual city is paying their way, it's really not a cost to the COG. What it is a cost to Fresno COG is the staff spending time setting up a trip that may or may not happen, as well as planning a trip. And the only thing, if we cancel it today, is the room charge is probably one night in advance, or if we can defer the date. That's the other thing.
Yeah, if we can defer the date, but the one night, I don't think we're held the one. I think it's more than that. Yeah, I think we're on the hook. We reserved 15 rooms. Now, we did try to take the step of reserving conservatively because there have been issues in the past related to the number of delegates who actually attend. But we didn't have much of a choice but to go under contract to reserve the block of rooms.
Right.
And so I think we are.
The retention's 85%.
Yeah, so it's an 85% payout for 15 rooms over, what was it, five nights? So 15 rooms times four.
Sorry, I think it was four.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, yeah. So.
That's 16 room nights at 85%.
So, and I think it's better that we hit early rather than later because we're not the only ones hitting, right? And so taking that into account, you know, in the strategy to be able to, you know, hit them, try to get some commitments, create awareness, and then follow up.
So why don't we just take a vote on how many want to defer it for a later date?
Well,
we can at least start with that.
Well, I think the issue is in order to get full participation, and if Fresno and Clovis don't vote, the way that the voting goes here, it's moved anyway because there's two different types of voting. There's majority plus the population. If Fresno and Clovis say we want to defer it, then it's deferred because you don't have the votes to carry it through. So So basically, I would defer to Fresno Clovis. If you guys want to defer it, we would stand with that, because it makes no sense to send entire staff over to bring up Huron's issue of Lysie Rural, which we can bring up 3 months later. So that's the question I would have to you, is do you see the benefit of us going?
Well, I think we also got to take into account that, you know, issues of equity, and if the smaller communities aren't being able to get their voice in early, then there's a situation of concern where then they're just going to fund or prioritize and fix it. So I mean, what are you saying? You're undermining small communities.
No, I was saying that perception. Well, to give you an example, my daughter plays softball for Kerman High School, and having a scout come out to look at Kerman High School is different than she played at Buchanan. So it's a question of people are there to see, and people will show up, not because of Kerman or Huron, but because Fresno Clovis and Huron and Kerman were there at one time.
Well, that's an interesting metaphor or example, but, you know, in our communities, what has been undermining, let me use the example of soccer. We have many times some really good talent that are even better than folks in big cities, but because we're a small city, the scouts don't come, and then they are undermining a career and an opportunity. So then going back to the issue and the statement of equity, I think you're sharing something that is contrary to that, and we should be more conscious of what we are going to do.
So how many are in favor of going in March?
Yeah,
I just want to figure out how many are really, we're not taking a vote yet, but just want to see how many are in favor. Raise your hand.
Well, that's kind of a vote.
Okay, then. Jeez, I just want to see, because we're going back and forth. And,
so what are we
going
to do with those rooms?
I know, I agree, though.
So
I just want
to, I'm willing to go still.
I would want us to go. Okay, I'm in favor. I'm not disagreeing with you, but if what...
I mean, we just have to change the paradigm, because if we keep on thinking the way that the status quo has set it up, then we're going to keep on undermining the most needed communities.
Which,
in our
I understand that. So then, go ahead.
Can I make a comment just from a fiscal point of view? We're less than 60 days out, and I just made reservations to go on a trip, and every day I wait to make my reservation, it's gone up like $300. So if my city...
You don't think it's a what, Mary?
If our city had to pay extra because we didn't plan this, like, you know, we should have been making reservations in December or January early before the 60 days.
I don't think it was the issue of them not reserving it on time. Is that now it's coming up that why should we go on this in March? Because that was talked about since last year.
Yes.
So there was plenty of time to discuss this, but now the question is coming up because of congressman not being there, and I get it. So I just like to see what would you like to do?
Yes. From the staff perspective, we're just looking at these priorities. Is there something that can be done for them in DC now that you need now? In 3 months that you won't need them anymore? They've already awarded the raise grants, or they've already it's too late to apply for that particular funding. It's really what you're looking for.
Right.
That we can help you with. That we can come
so
together
that's
as one and really present a united front. If we don't have enough people to grow, then we're not a united front.
Right.
If the projects are past deadline for the original ask, then, you know, basically the school is start over.
Yeah.
To see if there's something that FOG submitted to the project, the county submitted, City of Fresno, and Harvard. So it really is. You know, will it be fruitful to go later, or would we just kind of start over and try another effort another time?
Can I share a comment?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I
think it's kind of clear, right? If there's not going to be any congressmen there, and we want to add more things, you know, like Mayor Ray Leon wants to add his project, and we need more time to do it, and maybe it's not the time to go out there right now.
I don't think it's our, because isn't Jim Costa representing Mendota, right? So that, I think that's the question is because.
Duarte.
Oh, is Duarte? Okay, so there you go.
He's our Congress member as well, he's there.
Costa's over here, so it's only.
Can I dip out?
So it's only the ones that represent Fresno and Hope.
But I still feel that time is needed, right? It's not that I, you know, I'm trying to push something out, but I still feel that, you know, his project, I think is very important as much as the projects from Fresno.
Yeah.
I do disagree with your comments regarding small communities. But in order to elaborate a good list, including those projects, I think there's more time that's needed. I mean, that's just my two cents.
So if there's consensus, we can certainly seek to defer the contract and see if we can reschedule the rooms. But we would have to know what the direction would be in the event that we can't. You know, is the direction to bring it back to you would be to cancel the contract were you to decide not to do it at this time. You know, we can get back to you. We can. I don't know if we can actually table this. It's getting toward the 0 hour.
If you don't approve this tonight, we cannot defer it to next month. The advocacy firm has to get moving on setting up meetings. So she just needs to know. And we haven't actually signed our contract with them, so that's good. But at the hotel, I would need to be able to give them an idea of when to reschedule, or I don't think summer is necessarily a great time to go to Washington D.C., but if you want to.
No, that's terrible. Yeah. And the fall is already too late. Whatever they've decided, they've already done it. Either do it now or we don't do it at all.
So, as I mentioned to Mayor Ashbeck earlier, the Valley COG group, the eight counties, or the eight COGs in the San Joaquin Valley, the Regional Policy Council, normally attend in September. So that's another option. Summer, you know, you have a lot of back and forth. You don't necessarily have the members who are actually in office during the summer, so it's not considered the ideal time for something like this. Typically, these kinds of endeavors are targeted for the spring and the fall. And so, you know, and you obviously want to take your holidays, and you know, there's all kinds of pitfalls in the calendar that you have to watch for when scheduling this. The intent, historically, I think we've gone in May. This year, we proposed March because there was no, and there still is to date, no federal budget adopted. And so it was our hope that we would be able to basically accomplish two things by targeting the March timeframe. One was to get a say in asking the administration to, not have, or not the administration, but Congress, ask Congress not to cut as part of the budget process transportation projects. And number two, this tends to be the period around earmarks. If Congress is allowing for earmarks accepting those requests, this would be the season, you know, roughly in the early March, late February, early to mid-March time frame to submit earmarks. And so projects that were seeking an earmark, this would be the ideal time. So part of, as Brenda kind of mentioned, what is the request tied to? Is it tied to a grant application? She mentioned Fresno COG has two projects that it was submitting. One was the race application. Depending on when you schedule the trip, that may not be germane anymore, right? Because the race applications for the next cycle are due at the end of next month and would probably be decided sometime by late summer. And so, that is a salient point that some of these may fall off the list by virtue of not having a priority status at this particular time anymore. So, up for your consideration.
never went on these trips. So it was always a regional thing. So I don't have a problem with the regional. We always look at it from small communities. And I agree with Ray Leon on that. During the brand years, COVID hit. So we never really did the trip for those 4 years. Okay, so it's irrelevant if Fresno or Clovis goes, but the way the voting goes tonight, if they only have, there's only 8 programs on here instead of 11, they can veto this issue. So whether or not they would want to still have it and not go, that's the question that we have to decide tonight. And then if we want to go, we only have 8 issues. And then if we can add Ray's on, but there may not be enough time because we haven't vetted it out properly. So now you got that, but you have, that's the question that we have to decide is are we small regional communities going to take 8 items over there, 2 of which deal with the airport, and take those issues in front of congressmen that don't represent us because they're no longer our senators, or a senator that isn't there. Do they want to give us the time of day, and is it the best bang for our buck? Because if we, city of Kerman's not going, we have no dog in the fight, but the cities that are represented here are going to go, and they're going to spend taxpayer money to use this to represent their constituents for the smaller communities. And so that's kind of where we're at right now is do we want to back up this program and then let our small communities go, given that there's only 8 out of the 11 items on there, and the items that would have had a little bit more attendance aren't on there.
To be clear, the program guidelines effectively require that if a priority is being taken to Washington, there be a delegate to address that priority.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, what that amounts to in practice is if you pitch it, you go, right? So somebody, in the case of, for example, of the airport priorities, it's my understanding that Council Member Chavez is already registered to attend, and so perhaps he would be, I don't know who the city intends to ask to serve as its delegate, but if the Fresno projects, the airport projects, for example, were to go, the vote was to continue on the path we're on, then the expectation is that the city of Fresno would have a representative. It wouldn't necessarily have to be Mayor Dyer, but they would have somebody who would represent those projects and speak to those projects during the sessions.
Just to add, I was here last week for U.S. Conference of Mayors, so I spent all week in D.C. Had my airports director, Henry Thompson, there. We did meet with Congressman Costa, the FAA administrator, all of their real estate team. Also met with Secretary Buttigieg from Secretary of Transportation. And so we've already met on the high-speed rail. We've met on the on our increase in the size of our tower from 85 feet to 150, as well as on the runway issue. So really those issues have been addressed with the appropriate people last week. We set up all those meetings as part of the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
High speed rail, that's really just a thank you or a follow-up because you don't
need. We just got to $3.1 billion. There is still billions of dollars that are needed for the completion of high speed rail. So so we continue to ask for those dollars, and they're going to be there. Going to be there in time, but that's why I said, for me to go on that trip at this point in time, it would be like me repeating what I did last week.
Right. So the intention there were those items to remain on the list. It would effectively be to demonstrate that there's regional support as well as city support for the projects. It's one voice. That's the whole. Yeah.
If the board feels like. We do have some people who have signed up so far that aren't part of the board, but electeds are what they like to see. Sometimes when you're meeting with senators and there's not enough space for everyone, they're like, let's just talk to the electeds.
Who are the people outside that are not electeds or signed up?
Lake Consul, Jeff Roberts, has other folks going to them related to there's two members of the Carpenters Union that were just going, the frequent flyers to D.C. and they wanted to be
David Rivas.
Yeah. Joshua.
I'll make a motion just for the sake of the conversation. I vote that we, I make a motion that we defer this trip until September. Hotels will, I'm sure, forward or until they're, I think this list is fairly weak. And Clovis didn't help. So I'm going to take Clovis's two items off of there because it's way too early. So now you're down to those two. If Mayor Dyer said that we've done, he's already done the airport and high-speed rail, that's three more. So the list is not, doesn't seem very robust. I think, Ray, your idea is super awesome, and I'm reluctant to add an item today after all the other processes that people have gone through to get on the list. So I don't feel like we have enough of a message. We don't have the only outside agency we have is WIB, if Blake is going to go, but you know, over the years, I think we've had State Center and EDC and others. That's the one voice. It's not just one government voice. It's one community voice. So I think it's an awesome concept, but I would just, I don't think we've got enough substance there. So my motion just to move the conversation would be to defer the trip, see if we can forward the money until September or in conjunction with the Valley Cog trip or some other thing that makes sense and see what happens. That's my motion for now. And it could die for lack of a second. That's how that works too.
I know.
I'll second that.
Well, I'm gonna have to open it for the public too, but I just want to hear if there's, because I don't want to hear that we lost money because we made that decision and then we get affected because we spent that money and we're not going to get reimbursed or we can't. And then if we wait for the next meeting.
We can't wait for the next meeting. It's now or never.
So it's like, so this is, and we can't even call right now.
So Robert, can you ask to see if we can just simply defer those 15 rooms to September? And if they say no, then say that thank you very much. We'll never stay with you again.
Yes. Absolutely, we can do that.
That's how you negotiate. That's awesome.
And now, maybe one room.
And we can also see. I don't know that the Washington trip for the what's known as the Valley Voice contingent has been scheduled yet, but we can certainly seek to coordinate with that to either go before or immediately after. However, you know, so that it is late and there is a presence, you know, for as many as, 8 days or what have you.
The only issue with that, if you really want to connect it, is that delegates are there from what our, lobbyists is telling us is they're mainly only there to be with Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, and as well as federal agency staff.
Right.
So
they'd have to stay over the weekend.
You have to just come the next weekend.
Right.
Wouldn't be really with them.
No, it would be ahead or behind, right?
That week before.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, but we can, if that is your direction, we can investigate that and determine the potential for it. Yeah.
I know they're not starving for customers in DC, but I just think it's a good way of approaching.
Yeah, I mean, I you may want to include in the motion whether, you know, if it does not, if we are not allowed, are you okay with canceling the contract outright? Just canceling the contract and we're going up the money.
Well, I would say the contract is the least of our worries. The cost is an airfare and all the rest of the things in people's time. So the contract is not nothing, but we're going to spend a whole lot more money to save the money we're going to not lose on the contract. So I guess in that way, if that's what happens, that's what happens. But I can't imagine a hotel. That's fine. But that would be what I would say. But I just won.
So no one has purchased, you know, flights yet.
Oh, my God. See, that's another
thing. Would you have the protection? I did whatever Tony Graham in our finance department said to do. So it probably... I don't have insurance, but I think they allow you to.
Yes.
Perhaps you can fly that another time. Yeah.
Within a year.
And the hotel, I think, would be about $18,000 if it would not move the clock to another time. It would be about
$18,000. Depends on what their policy is, because the people you talk on the phone are not the ones that make the rules. They just follow whatever policies made in the hotel. So that's what it depends on. You have to probably go up higher in the ranks, somebody in executive level that could probably
give you a credit or do something or work something with you, but if you're calling customer service and dealing with the people that are there working, and they just follow policy.
Whoever booked the rooms dealt with someone that does contracts. That's the one we have to be contacted.
Somebody acquired.
Not the front desk.
One of the issues with the hotels are, if you rent it out for 5 days and you're gonna charge somebody for 5 days, then you turn around and re-rent it out to somebody else, you have to mitigate some of those costs back to the original person. So that's why they usually do a 1 day charge and not all 5 days. You know, it's the same thing when I had a video store and you rented a tape out and they kept it out for 5 days. You can't charge for the cost of the tape plus the rental of the tape. You can only do one or the other. You get one choice. Same thing was if they re-rent the room to somebody else, that means that you have no penalty, so to speak. So that's why it's always been. Yeah, they'll rent the room to somebody else.
Madam Chair, I'd like to call the question. I think, is there a second? Did they give a second?
I second.
I have to open it for the public.
That's fine, but let's I think we can talk about all that long. We are, we're done.
Good evening, Madam Chairperson, members of the Utah Policy Board. My name is Jeff Roberts. I work for the Ascini Group and am signed up to go on the One Voice trip. Not only signed up with COG, but have already paid for it by the rooms. So came here tonight, obviously, to speak in favor of your endorsing the list as it was proposed. I realize that list may get cut down a bit or expanded a bit, but we think that the timing of the trip is very critical. I could talk about the Millers and Road project, but I don't think that's the big issue here tonight. I think the big issue is the timing of these grant requests that have to go in. I know the county president has to get something in within about 30 days. And then the timing is good to be in front of the electeds. In the case of Congressman McCarthy, Millers and Road was in his district. But what I did is went back to who had it before, and that was Tom McClintock. And I talked to McClintock's office. They're aware of the project. They're aware of the trip. And it's not that hard to back up and talk to other Congress folks about it. We've always enjoyed, I've been 15 times on One Voice, so we've always enjoyed the ability to talk to a lot of different folks about the project. And in Millers and Road's case, it's Department of Transportation, SDPs. Be happy to answer questions. If you have anything about Millers and Road you'd like to know, I'm here.
The question is also the others that might have spent on the rooms, and that's kind of, I don't understand why we didn't have this conversation of this in October, because that should have been brought up before we approved to schedule this trip in March, which is,
I think we had a congressman in October.
I know, but wasn't there already talks that he was going to be stepping and resigning?
We still had one in October, so I hear you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because there's a lot of people that made those expenses, and for us, well, it's not coming out of my pocket because, you know, I haven't paid anything. The only thing that COG paid for something, but the other businesses and other ones that are planning to go, they paid for it out of their own pockets. And I understand that, you know, Fresno and Clovis need to be there because they're the ones that have the major projects. But that should have been something that we should have discussed before, because, you know, all the other cities need to work on their projects too. You know, I don't have a major project, but Ray has a major project that he wants to work on, and there's other cities that are working on some stuff too. But it may not be a big list like we used to have, because we used to have a big list. And it's been a while since COVID that we've, so this is why we're starting off with a small list. And I just don't feel that it's fair to kind of like say, oh, well, we're not going to go. I'm sorry you paid for it. Try to get a reimbursement. You know, I just don't feel that that's right. I wouldn't like that to happen to me. So I don't think that we should do that to them. So I that's just my opinion.
Why don't we take a vote, or I can withdraw the motion. I mean, the other variant is just take a smaller group, call one smaller voice. You don't need for, I mean, I'll vote to go, but I'm not going to go. There would be no reason for me to go. And not that I don't believe in the region, believe me, but we don't have anything to pitch. So, but we could go and be supportive. I totally get the concept, but it's probably less likely that I would go. It's probably less likely that Mayor Dyer would go. right? But there's no reason the rest of you can't go, but it's just not going to be the force that's been with WIB and EDC and State Center and hospitals, because in past years, we had a lot of people. So it could be a smaller trip, go. But it's just, I think it's not, it doesn't make sense that everyone's going to go with the list. The list we have now is pretty small.
Yeah.
So
This is our first year back.
No, totally get it. So,
COVID, so
I can take the motion back and go. But I think I can safely say Clovis will not go on the trip just because we don't have anything to add to this conversation. So I guess that's what I would say.
I would call it the sharper voice.
The what?
The sharper voice.
Sharper ones are going to go on the trip?
The voice will be sharper.
Yeah, so, okay then, I think that was it from the public, right? Do I have any other public comments? So I guess withdrawing the motion.
Well, I mean, if people want to go, then go. We should all go. We should fill up the 15 rooms and incur that cost. I don't think it's a very robust list. I think we could do better, but it's the list we've got. And I think your Project Ray is great. I don't think there's enough time to make it sound well thought out. I think it sounded a whole lot better in September. But again, I'm just trying to move this along because it's 8 o'clock.
I know.
So anyway, those are my two options. My motion's on the table, you can leave it there, or you just take a smaller trip, and then people can decide to go or not. I'm going to stop talking.
I was just going to say, I think there's a lot of material already. I mean, we did it once before.
So would a motion from you be that we go with a smaller group?
Sure, I would motion that we go with a...
whatever cities are already planning to go.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a motion and...
Do we have a second comment?
My concern would be, even going with board support, it's not the same as going with board members. So if we went with this list, who would be able to go?
What cities do we know of that are planning
Hero.
To
go?
Our mayor is currently there and has extended his trip to stay there. So
that
Kingsburg mayor will be there. So I think we need to hit how many are actually elected are going to be out there, right?
You're
okay. Yeah, but my concern is really everybody else, because I can go up to myself and say, well, we're doing this. You know, I just want to make sure that everybody else, or Ray and I guess, but who else? And Kermit. Kingsburg, how about Kermit? Do you know if Maria's going?
We don't have a dog in the fight, but I haven't really asked her because I'm just a subject.
I'm pretty sure she'll go.
She'll go?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she hasn't come to the board about the expenses of it. So I'm assuming that's a
I think she voted in favor for us to move on it for March when she was here. So let's just do a vote and a motion.
That's four. Just for the record.
Assuming that she goes, I don't know if she is, so I can't confirm that she would or not.
I wish she would.
So, so there's a motion to go with a smaller group. What we can do is maybe contact the ones that are going or have said that they're going to make sure that they're going, and if not, then go back to what Lynn said.
Is this mostly rural folks that are going?
Yeah.
A rural, call it a rural voice or something. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're representing rural communities, small communities.
Fresno County voice, because it's all Fresno County.
Well, Fresno County is the city of Fresno and Clovis, so that may be a little misleading.
It's still the one voice. It's just you don't have everybody participating for it.
Yeah, sorry.
Just a point of clarification, Brenda, from a cost perspective, do all cities bear a cost for One Voice, whether you go or not, or is it just those who go?
The funding comes from the local funds, or where's the money?
Every city pays for their own, of course.
So there's not a lump cost, a total cost divided among 15 cities?
No. You would have already paid it in your dues.
So the 18,000, if we can't keep it, would come out of that. Okay.
So then we have a first and a second. Do we have a? Victor wants a second. All those in favor say aye.
What's the motion by small group go?
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? One opposes? Rigby opposes? Anybody else?
Okay, so there's, the action tonight in your packet, though, is which priorities to support.
Well,
so there's two, there's
they already
two separate.
Took three or four off, so I think if we take any more out.
Well, what I'm trying to clarify is what remains. So we have the Billiton Road.
At Ray's project that he's been requesting for, and that can replace the others. We have one.
Do we have any city investment projects left?
Seven. Eight.
We have no city of Fresno. As I understand it, we have no city of Fresno, no city of Corpus projects.
And if there's projects that we had in the past that have been, you know, chewed up and set up and weren't funded, maybe those could be taken back from the rural communities.
Well, again, that's what the action is tonight, is to decide on which priorities we're taking.
We're taking these, and if we can't add any more, because they're not on here. Right?
We can do whatever we want, but we just got to decide it and vote on it.
From my counsel standpoint, is this, as priorities of the agency, you're making that decision tonight. What each individual does when they reach DC is not necessarily a priority of the agency. But with your vote tonight, establishing what the agency priorities are, presumably it can be changed at the next meeting. From a legal and procedural standpoint, from a practical standpoint, I can't answer that.
So and to clarify also, the high speed rail project was that from the city of Fresno, so that also comes off here. There.
The only project I removed was the Shaw Avenue interchange.
Oh, so the others would stay on.
Well, unless you guys want high speed rail.
I think it.
And you don't want to fly out of the Fresno Air Terminal. I mean, it's up to you guys.
I think those would be good with that.
To clarify, let me enumerate which priorities we're talking about so that we're all on the same page here. So we have the Fresno Yosemite International Airport new traffic control tower. That remains. The FAT runway reconstruction project, Millington Road widening and safety improvements, business friendly administrative relief at U.S. Department of Labor, high speed rail for Fresno County funding to the finish, the RAISE grant application for the South Fresno State Route 99 corridor project, and the House Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Bill, as well as the City of Parlier's Rails to Trails project and the Cross Valley Rail project. Is that correct?
And RAISE.
That's Cross Valley Rail. Cross Valley.
That's my motion.
Second.
Okay, motion was from Mendota and second from Huron. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Now we can move on to the next item, which is nominations for the California Partnership for the County Valley. Robert?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the California Partnership for the San Joaquin Valley is requesting that each of the eight councils of government in the Valley provide three names for consideration for appointment to that organization. One person from each of the eight counties will be selected from the nominations, and we need the names tonight, due by January 31st. This is a body that was established in 2005 under Governor Schwarzenegger as a public-private entity.
focused on improving the region's economic vitality, quality of life, while addressing the region's unique challenges. So the partnership was originally begun after Governor Schwarzenegger's election and was included all of California's secretaries. It has since kind of formed. It does not have the state support that it did have, but it does continue and is looking to revitalize its membership. It was extended indefinitely, and governing guidelines established in July 2010, guided by a board of directors with 30 participants.